بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد continue the kitab on aqaid and beliefs next chapter is on kufr kufr in sharia is the opposite of iman to reject a single item which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed to mankind the authenticity of which is certain is known as kufr this rejection may be by expression of the tongue or to have any doubt on any of the articles of faith in the heart. So the following people are kafir, they are disbelievers. One who denies any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, he says that Allah is not omnipresent. Allah does not have power over everything. Allah does not respond to the prayer of everybody. Or does not comprehend all things. Or he says that Allah ta'ala is not eternal. Number two, one who believes that man evolved from a monkey, or that everything came into existence through a big bang. Number three, one who says that he does not fear Allah Ta'ala, or one who loses hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Number four, one who has doubts or denies any qualities or names of Allah Ta'ala. Five, one who prostrates to or presents a sacrifice to someone other than Allah Ta'ala. Number six, one who rejects the nabuwat of any Nabi. Example, he says, Musa alayhi salam is not a Nabi, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a Nabi. Number seven, one who believes in any Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, he rejects the finality of the nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number eight, one who believes any person to be equal to or superior in rank to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number nine, one who speaks ill of any of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or any other Nabi. Number ten, one who jests or mocks at any Nabi or the teachings or actions of any Nabi. Number 11, one who claims that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not deliver the complete deen for fear of certain enemies. To hold this belief is also kufr. Number 12, one who claims that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's explanations of certain events and things were not in accordance with reality, but were merely to entice the masses into the acceptance of Islam. Example, Jannah is not a reality, just a physical, a spiritual state. But to entice their message into Islam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to them about Jannat and the hurs of Jannat and all of these things, but they are not reality. Similarly, if one mockingly says, what benefit will I derive in practicing on the Sunnah? So if a person mocks and says this, he loses his Iman. Number 13, one who rejects any of the divine scriptures or claims any portion of the original divine scripture to be wrong. Number 14, one who intentionally shows disrespect to the Quran or the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number 15, one who does not accept the clear and apparent meanings of the Quran and hadith and fabricates meanings to suit his personal desires. Number 16, one who denies the existence of angels or believes the angels to be the daughters of Allah Ta'ala. Number 17, one who denies the physical resurrection of man on the day of Qiyamah. 18, one who denies the physical or material existence of Jannat and Jahannam. 19, one who denies any injunctions of Allah Ta'ala, which is soundly proven. Example, Salah, fasting, Zakat, Hajj, inheritance, capital punishment, Hijab, Jihad, prohibition of alcohol, prohibition of interest in gambling, etc. Number 20, one who is displeased with any law of the Sharia. 21, one who jests or mocks at any teaching of Islam. Number 22, one who makes unlawful the lawful acts of Islam or vice versa. Example, he legalizes interest, etc. No matter how major a sin is, as long as one regards it to be evil, he will not lose his Iman. However, by committing the sin, one's Iman will be weakened. So if a person says, zina is not a bad thing, it's not the evil thing, I commit zina. One is, if a person feels bad, I'm committing zina, then he won't lose his Iman, his Iman will become extremely weak. But if a person says, well, I don't care, unfortunately people are writing these things, the person immediately loses their Iman. Number 23, one who finds fault with any belief, act, practice or teaching of Islam. 24, one who regards anything of the disbelievers to be superior to death which is ordered by Islam. 25, one who perpetrates an unlawful act regarding it to be lawful. Example, he commits adultery regarding it to be lawful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all of these forms of kufr and disbelief. The person must be really careful what words he utters, what he thinks, and how he says certain things, because our iman is something very extremely valuable, and for foolish few words a person says, sometimes he can lose his iman. Really, a person has to look after his tongue and be very careful. Allah give us true understanding. Last night in the Taraweeh Salah, the 23rd juz was recited, commencing with Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin is known as Qalbul Quran, the heart of the Quran. One hadith, we are encouraged that you must read Yasin in the beginning portion of the morning, all the needs for the day will be fulfilled. And in one hadith it comes, that read Surah Yasin over your deceased. It can either mean before a person passes away, you read Surah Yasin, even after he passes away, you read Surah Yasin for the deceased people. And a person who reads Surah Yasin one time, he will get the reward of reading the whole Quran 10 times. So there are great virtues of reading Surah Yasin, even similarly in the night. Once in a day, a person can recite it. It comes in certain hadith, if a person recites Surah Yasin, Allah will forgive all of his sins if he recites it at night. So Allah give us tawfiq that we make this a habit in our life, at least once in the morning or in the evening, a person recites Surah Yasin. Why is this called the Qalbul Quran, the heart of the Quran? Because the heart is what pumps blood in the rest of the body. The main three beliefs in Islam is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Risalat, the messengership of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, and Akhirat, the life of the year after. And all of these three matters are discussed very briefly in Surah Yasin. So when a person will recite this, and the yaqeen of this will come into his heart, then iman will flow in the heart of that person. Because now Yasin, the belief of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Anbiya alayhi salam, you're accepting them, and Akhirat, you have got full yaqeen and conviction in the Akhirat. So automatically when these things come into a person, his heart is strong now, his spiritual heart is strong. The whole of deen will come easily into a person's life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences mentioning taking an oath on the Quran Kareem. And Allah ta'ala says, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a proof that you are definitely amongst the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam and you are on the right path. If you look at the Quran Sharif, the greatest proof of the Nubuwwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran Kareem, which he has brought to us. What a miracle it is. And 1400 years, there are so many reasons of the miraculousness of the Quran Sharif. The more a person will study the Quran Sharif, the more he will believe in that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was definitely a true messenger of Allah. It's impossible he spoke lies. And what knowledge he brought to mankind. So the conviction of a person will increase the more we study the Quran Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that some people are not prepared to accept the Tawheed and the oneness of Allah ta'ala, and there will be destruction for them. On the other hand, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam went to the people, and even sometimes said the Anbiya themselves. But like for example, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam sent some of his people to one certain place. Some say it was in Takia, in Turkey, and they went there and they called the people towards deen, but the people were not prepared to accept them. Then Isa alayhi salam sent a third person who also came and started encouraging the people. There was one person by the name of Habib Najjar, he was a blind person. He accepted Iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him his health back. He comes to his people well wishing, and he calls them towards the oneness of Allah ta'ala. He tries to explain to them the proofs of Tawheed and the oneness of Allah ta'ala, but they are not prepared to accept him, and eventually they kill him. When he is told to enter into Jannah, he says, if only my people knew how Allah has forgiven me and Allah has given me so much of honor. And he had that concern, as the ulama say, that he had the concern for his people in this world, and after dying also, after becoming shaheed, he had concern for his people. And eventually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, those people who were so harsh and so hard, Allah said, we never had to send a whole army from the heavens to destroy them. It was just one scream and suddenly all of them were completely destroyed. These people who went against the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salam, they made a mock of the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salam, and they were not prepared to accept, so much so that they went to the level of killing the messenger who had come, was a well-wisher for them. So this eventually was their result, they were completely destroyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the proofs of Tawheed, of his oneness, that if a person ponders in this world, how Allah has made the dead earth, and suddenly the rains come down, and all the wonderful fruits and plantations which come out, a person can eat and take benefit from the fruits of the earth, and a person should make shukr and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made pairs in this world of every different thing. There are different pairs, male and female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made so much so. وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Even in today, you get in the electron and the proton, you get a male and female there also. In all things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world has made a system, and the whole reason of this is to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, Allah is alone. Everyone else is in muhtaj and in need of something else, but Allah ta'ala doesn't need any partner. Then day and the night, the sun and the moon, how it is moving, these are all clear signs of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a person ponders in these matters, he will understand the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about akhirat, that there will be one person is in the grave, The trumpet will be blown. People will be standing up now and walking towards the plains of Qiyamah. And those people who are suffering in the grave, the non-Muslims, even though there was a lot of punishment in the grave, but when they will see the scenes of the day of Qiyamah, they will say, who woke us up from our place of rest? They will regard what they were sleeping in the grave as a place of rest, because they will see the fearful scenes on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just one scream, it will be one shout. Suddenly all of us will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, no zulam and oppression will be done upon any person. The people of Jannah, on the plains of Qiyamah, they will be enjoying themselves. Allah will put a dastarkhan out for them. They will be sitting and relaxing under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear, shughulin faqihun, enjoying themselves. And they will have every kind of fruit also on the plains of Qiyamah, whatever they desire. And they will get salam from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it will be said, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. O sinners, now you separate from the people of Iman. You go on one side, and the people of Iman will have great comfort. And they will be saying, هَذِي جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. This is Jahannam which you people have been promised. Enter now because of the kufr and disbelief which you people used to make in this world. The people will say that, oh Allah, you got no proof against us. We're not accepting the angels. We're not accepting what's written in the book. Allah says, no, no problem. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Today we will seal up your mouth. And your hands will speak now. Your legs will give testimony against you from your own body now. Now what answer will a person give? So in this way a person will be destroyed on the day of Qiyamah. So this is why whenever a person commits a guna in a sin, then he must make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, the benefit of tawbah is that the earth upon which a person has made a sin, it will be made to forget the sin which a person has done. Wherever it is written down, Allah will wipe out the files. The angels who are recording the guna and sin, they will also be made to forget what that person has done. And the limbs of the body also, Allah will make it such on the day of Qiyamah. It will not be able to testify against a person. It won't testify because the sin has been removed and wiped off from the person. So Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. The next surah is Surah Safat. In Surah Safat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the two important things. One is da'wat, calling towards the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the beginning also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the day of Qiyamah that the evildoers, they will taste a severe punishment. And the servants of Allah Ta'ala who are chosen, who stayed away from all of these sins, Allah has given them many, many bounties. They will have the sustenance, ma'alum, rizqum, ma'alum. They will know exactly, I'm getting my food at a certain time. So a person doesn't know what time he's getting food, he's worried, parishan. But here they will know, getting it at a certain time. And all the food will be fawaki, for enjoyment. It won't be as a means of, a person will be in need of it, but just for enjoyment. And normally in this world, when you get food, the same food with disgrace, a person doesn't feel comfortable, he takes the food, he is forced, a beggar. But here, every person will be given great, great honor in fi jannat in na'im, in the gardens of ni'mat and bounties. And he will be sitting and reclining on chairs. People will be moving around their servants with the wonderful goblets of jannat and the wine of jannat, white, very, very tasty for the drinkers. They won't have headaches, the urine won't come out after having this wine, and they won't become intoxicated, and all useless words will be coming out from their mouth. This will be a person who abstained from drinking wine in this world, a person who abstained from intoxicants in this world, a person who unfortunately took intoxicants in this world, he took silk in this world, he wore silk in this world, then he will be deprived of those bounties in the year after. Whatever bounties in this world which a person used in a haram way, in the year after he will be deprived. So much as some ulama mentioned, that according to logic, whatever bounties a person, like Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the hadith, he similarly a person who commits zina in this world, he enjoys himself with other women folk, there is a great possibility in the year after he will be deprived of the khurs of Jannah also. For a short bit of enjoyment he took in this world, but he will be deprived of the everlasting enjoyment of the beautiful woman of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here he will have his wives with him, qasiratul turf. These women, gazes will be such that they will only be looking down, looking at the husbands only. They won't look at any other man. Such levels of purity and chastity they will have. Oh, qasiratul turf. They will be so beautiful that a man won't be able to look at anyone else. His eyes will be just fixed on them. He won't be able to turn his gaze towards anybody else. What beauty they will have. The person will be sitting in Jannah and he will be having discussions. And one of them will say, you know, I had one friend in this world and he used to mock at me and tell me, why are you believing in akhirat? It's all lies. It's all a fairy tale. When we die and we become sand and bones, will Allah resurrect us and take a reckoning from us? Then he will tell his friend, come, let us look. Then they will look and they will see him in the middle of Jahannam. That other friend of his was a non-believer. And he said, Tallahi in kidda la turdin. You are very close to misguiding me and destroying me also. If it wasn't for the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would have also been among those people who are in the fire of Jahannam. So Allah ta'ala protect and save us from your ulama, right? Your company has a great effect upon a person, the friends a person keeps. And in today's time with the cell phone, what the messages a person is reading, this is also company of a person. Unfortunately, in our schooling system, where most of the time a person that's friends he's got, or the teachers he's got, where a person normally takes great effect by the teacher, is a non-Muslim person, or an atheistic person, or a person who hasn't got deen in his life, this has a great effect upon the child, this has a great effect upon a person. Our own children, who are their teachers, we should be very careful what company they have, because this is the greatest company a person has in his life. The person who is teaching my child, a person of taqwa, a person of piety, a person of goodness, this will have a great effect upon a person. Even worldly knowledge, whoever a person is learning from, if it's a person of piety and goodness, it will have a different effect. And if it's an evil person, Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali says that if a person is reading a book, even if it's a dini book, but written by a non-Muslim person, or written by an irreligious person, it will have a negative effect on the heart. And he says if a person is reading a book on worldly things, handicrafts, whatever it is, but it's written by a pious Muslim person, this will have a good effect upon a person's heart. He said in the writings of a person, there's anwarat which comes out, or there's darkness which comes out. So a person has to be very careful regarding his company and the literature which a person is reading also. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about those who held on to Tawheed and the oneness of Allah ta'ala, how they were successful in this world, whether it was Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And in life, Allah will give a person different tests. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given extremely difficult test that he had to actually slaughter his son for the pleasure of Allah. It was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to accept the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, Allah ta'ala gave him such honor till the day of Qiyamah. In life, a person will go through different examinations. That woman who comes in front of a person's life, or that message she sent to a person, it's not just a woman has sent me, this is a bounty. I'm very fortunate that this woman has sent me a message. This is an examination from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person passes the examination, Allah says, كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Allah special mercy upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this way we will reward those people who do good actions. I'm testing you to see whether you pass your examination or you fail your examination. In Musnad Ahmad there is one narration, something to the effect that for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who abstains from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's got the opportunity to break the commands of Allah, but he abstains. Then Allah ta'ala will give him the same bounty back in the halal way. The same bounty which was haram, Allah will make it halal for that person. Or Allah will give him something far better and superior to what a person leaves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are examinations, whether it comes to women folk, whether it comes to money in life, our izzat and our status, all of these things. Person leaves it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like how Allah ta'ala blessed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah ta'ala will bless a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam also, that because they were firm on Tawheed and his oneness, how Allah helped, his help and assistance came to them. Even when they made mistakes, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he made an error and he was eventually swallowed up by the fish. But Allah said, because فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ, because he was making tasbih, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين, reading this dua. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if it wasn't for the tasbih and turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have remained in the fish till the day of Qiyamah. But because he turned his attention was towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's help and assistance came to him. In the next surah, Surah Sa'd, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam came, and unfortunately many people disobeyed the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they went against them, so they eventually were destroyed. But those who made inabat and they turned their attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what favors Allah Ta'ala granted to those who turn their attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We get on one side, Allah Ta'ala mentions about Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, what favors Allah Ta'ala bestowed upon him. And once Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, he made an error by saying certain things, but immediately when he realized his mistake, again he turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, we forgave him for his mistake and gave him khilafat on the earth. We made him the khalifa on the earth, and we told Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam that judge amongst the people with the truth. Never ever follow your desires. If a person follows his desires, it will turn you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you turn away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that person is a very severe punishment, because he has forgotten the day of Qiyamah. So the opposite of following desires is the day of Qiyamah. Keeping in mind Qiyamah, the life of the year after, when a person has got this before him, it's very easy for a person to abstain from his desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam also, once he had all his horses came in front of him, and he was just checking up on them, and it was because they were preparing them for jihad, and the time of Asr went out, and he missed his salah, and it was a mistake. But he was so grief stricken He slaughtered all of these animals for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system in this world is, whoever sacrifices anything for Allah, Allah grants him something far better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a flying carpet. Before Sulaiman alayhi salam was using horses to travel from one place to another. Now Allah ta'ala gave him that carpet, an aeroplane in today's time, from where he could go from one country to another country in a short space of time. Allah ta'ala bestowed him a great favor because he sacrificed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam, his inabit towards Allah ta'ala when he was sick. He never turned to anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed him from his difficulty and problem. And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the end of the surah that the necessity of turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you don't turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you'll become a follower of shaitan, or you'll become like shaitan. And shaitan, he had that pride, as Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thami rahmatullah alayhi says, three qualities shaitan had, which we all should abstain from. Shaitan had the pride within himself. And the second quality which he had was jealousy. He was jealous of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the third quality which shaitan had was hurriyat. He wanted to be free. I'm a free person. I can do as I want to. I don't need somebody above me. I don't need guidance from anybody else. I don't need my parents. I don't need my ustaz. I don't need a sheikh. I don't need the ulama. I'm a free thinker. I'm a free person. So when a person wants freedom, then actually he destroys himself. Man by nature, Allah has made him a slave. We can either become the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or become the slaves of our nafs. We don't realize it, but we're actually the slaves of shaitan, we're the slaves of our nafs. We are the slaves of society and the environment. But if a person is a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed there is great honor for a person, and there is great dignity for a person. Otherwise the person will become like shaitan, and he will be completely destroyed. The last surah which was recited last night in the Taraweeh Salah was Surah Az-Zumar, which the ulama say that the theme of this surah is Al-Ikhlas fil Ibadah. Whatever action a person does in his life, it must be done sincerely and solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. There are two meanings of ikhlas. One is that he mustn't take any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like an idol worship any idols, etc., besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing is that when a person worships Allah Ta'ala, it mustn't be for show, for name and fame. It must be only solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most independent of partners. When a person does an action for Allah and for somebody else, then Allah will tell a person on the day of Qiyamah, you have done it for so and so person, take that, go to that person and take the full reward. I don't want any portion in the day. And a person, what will a person have? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in different ways in the surah explains how must a person get ikhlas. Firstly, thinking about the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah has given you all of these bounties, how can you turn La ilaha illahu? This is Allah who has created you from your mother's womb in layers of darknesses. Three layers of darkness Allah brought you in this world. Allah created you. Allah is bestowing you with great favors. How can a person worship or do any action for anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La ilaha illahu fa'anna tusrafun. It's only Allah. Where are you turning your attention? If you are ungrateful, Allah doesn't need you. And wa in tashkuru yardahu lakum. If you will make shukr and thank Allah, this will be beneficial for yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ikhlas is within every person. Because when you fall into problems and difficulties, you forget all your idols and anybody else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Kitab rahmatullah has mentioned that many people were afflicted with the sickness of love, a love affairs they were having in Damascus. And Allah Ta'ala sent the condition upon the people, there was no food. Now people had to choose between their lover or one slice of bread. They forgot all of their love. And their love, we say we can't control ourselves without our lover. Now, beloved, they forgot all of that there. Now they were asking, crying for that one slice of bread. You can either take the slice of bread or give it to your beloved, and their lives will be saved. No one is ready at that time to think of anything else. So ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at that time, the person's attention turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgets everyone else. So you've got that ikhlas within yourself, the sincerity. Why are you taking partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us that if you think about the day of Qiyamah also, who will reward a person on the day of Qiyamah? So if you think about the favors of Allah ta'ala and you think about Qiyamah, then this will create ikhlas and sincerity within a person. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The greatest loss is a person who has caused harm to himself and his family people on the day of Qiyamah. This is an open loss for a person. And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when a person has got this ikhlas and sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him sharia sadr. Allah opens up his heart for Islam. Hazrat mentions that today we have entered into Islam, but as Islam entered into us. We have entered into Islam, but as Islam entered into us. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the sign of Islam entering into a person's heart, the nur of Islam entering into a person's heart? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three signs you will know now whether you have got Islam in your heart or not. Number one, he says, you are turning your attention away from this house of deception. At-tajafi an dar al-ghurur. Turning your heart away from this house of deception. And your heart is inclined in awatu ila dar al-khulud. to the everlasting life, house of the akhirat, of Jannah, which is forever and forever, you're turning your attention there. وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ. And a person is preparing for death before the coming of death of a person, before death comes to a person is sorting out all of his matters, all of his affairs, his qaza namazas, his qaza rozas, his well also is being sorted out. When these signs are in a person, then it shows now a person that Islam has really entered into a person's heart. Each of us should judge ourselves and see how much of Islam is in our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا كان يرفع صوته بالذكر فقال رجل لو أن هذا خفض من صوته فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنه أواه رواه البيهقي جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک صحابی بلند آواز سے ذکر کر رہے تھے تو کسی نے کہا کیا اچھا ہوتا اگر یہ اپنی آواز کو ذرا پست کر لیتے تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا اس کو اپنی حالت پر رہنے دو اس کا دل اللہ کی محبت میں ابھر رہا ہے. There was a sahabi who raised his voice in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst making zikr and reciting the Quran. On seeing him, a sahabi radiallahu anhu said, if only he would lower his voice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him be, for verily he is Allah, that is, he is a person filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, there was a sahabi who had raised his voice in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst making zikr and reciting the Quran. On seeing him, a sahabi radiallahu anhu said, if only he would lower his voice. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him be, for verily he is Allah, that is, a person filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of the Sahabi was Hazrat Abdullah Zul Bijadain radiallahu anhu. He became an orphan in his childhood and thus lived with his uncle. On hearing of his accepting Islam, his uncle expelled him from the house stark naked. He migrated to Medina Munawwara, where he would be found in front of the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to practice dhikr very loudly. Hazrat Ibrahim Taymi rahimahullah narrates that he would raise his voice with the tasbih, takbir and the recital of the noble Quran. On seeing him, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu once remarked, is this man a hypocrite that he does dhikr so loudly? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, rather he is amongst the awabeen, those who always turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he passed away, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the following dua for him. O Allah, I am pleased with him. You also be pleased with him. Upon seeing this, Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu desired that if only it could have been his corpse in that place.